This is part one of a two-part message. Called Who You Are in Christ. Who You Are in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In him. It is in him that we become righteousness. It is in him that we become alive. It is in him that life takes over for us. When I was in Bible school, I had an entire semester of class called In Him Realities. And you'll find the words in King James, at least, in him many times in the New Testament. And it means in Christ, in him. And when it talks about in him, it's talking about how our lives have changed for the good when we are in him. If you look at Acts chapter 17, verse 38, I'm sorry, verse 28, it says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said. For we also are his offspring. In him we live and move and have our being, for we are his offspring. That means we're born of him when we're in him. Amen? Now, we have to first of all learn to identify with him. See, many times Christians do not identify with Christ. They can identify Christ. They can identify who the Godhead is. They can identify who the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is, but they don't identify with them. And we need to learn to identify with him as being our brother. It's easy for us to identify our brothers and sisters in Christ in the local body. But we need to learn to identify with Christ as being our brother, as being the first among many, as the Word says, as being the beginning of the new family of believers, the new family of Christians, because when you're born again, you become a saint and your position is in Christ. Your spirit's reborn with the new birth, but your mind has to be renewed. That's the saving of the soul. Is the renewing of the mind. How do you renew the mind? With the washing of the water of the Word. You continually have to renew your mind. Paul knew he was born again. He wrote all about it throughout the New Testament, but he said we work toward the saving of the soul. In other words, we continually renew our mind with the washing of the water of the Word. Why? Because where does all sin in human life begin? It begins in the mind. It begins with a thought. Because The devil plants a thought in your mind, you know, wouldn't it be great to go out and do whatever? You know, like McCleary had never gone to church, had never been in church in his life. And so one Sunday morning, the priest was just utterly amazed when McCleary shows up in church. I mean, he was just amazed when McCleary showed up in church. Couldn't believe it. So after the service, he stopped him. He says, McCleary, he said, I was just surprised to see you in church. And McCleary said, well, brother, he said, I must be honest with you. He said, I lost my good hat. And he said, I knew Murphy had a hat just like mine. And so I came to church to steal Murphy's hat because I knew he'd leave it at the back of the church. And the priest said, well, I noticed you didn't steal Murphy's hat. Why not? He says, well, when you be preaching on the Ten Commandments, he said, it got to me. And the priest said, well, that's good. He said, was it the part that thou shalt not steal? He said, no. He said, when you got to the part thou shalt not commit adultery, I remembered where I left my hat. Now, see, it all starts with a thought. He had the thought to steal Murphy's hat. He had the thought to commit adultery. But as you read the Word and study the Word and allow the Word to take over in your life, what happens? The Word causes those thoughts to leave your mind as fast as they come in, because what do you learn to do? You learn to cast down thoughts and imaginations that would exalt themselves above the knowledge of the Most High God. And without the knowledge of the Word, without the strength of the Word in your life, you can't cast down those thoughts. That's why sinners go out and do what they do. That's why believers that aren't in the words go out and sin and get into the kind of trouble they get into. It's because they're not in the Word the way they should be. You say, well, how does reading a book have that much impact on a person's life? Because the Word is alive and it's powerful. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It is alive and it's powerful. How do I know that? Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so when you study the Word, what are you doing? You're taking God into your mind. And He's driving out the things that would cause you to get involved in evil things. Not that the thoughts won't come to you, but what you can learn to do is pass them right on through and get them out of there. Because the Word's stronger than the evil thoughts. Amen? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. We may jump around a few places here, but you might as well just keep your finger in Ephesians, because we're going to stay in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now, first of all, this has some interesting meanings. First of all, we've been blessed with heavenly blessings, spiritual blessings. Where have we been blessed with the spiritual blessings at? Heavenly places. Well, this doesn't look like a heavenly place to me. I mean, it's a nice building, but it's not heaven. But yet, doesn't the Bible say that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus? Amen? So see, we're blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places, because in the spirit realm, what are we? We're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Why? Because God keeps the family together. Your position is in Christ. You have to learn to speak spiritual blessings over yourself. Speak generational blessings over yourself rather than generational curses. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 talks about, you know, the sins of the father will be visited to the fourth and fifth generation. Well, you can speak that over your life and it will happen. But instead of speaking that over your life, start speaking generational blessings over your life and over your family's lives. That the blessings of God are going to come on me and my family, and the generational curse has been cut off in this generation. I've been speaking that for years, that the generational curse is cut off in this generation. And there won't be a generational curse in this generation. I don't expect it, I don't want it, and I'm not having it. Amen? Look at verse 4 here in Ephesians chapter 1. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love. The King of Kings chose you before the foundation of the world. He chose you. He saw something special in you. Verse 5 says, having predestined as to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It was God's plan to adopt you into his family before the world was formed. It was his plan. You say, well, wait a minute. Now, God created Eden, and he told Adam and Eve to go out and do all these nice things, and they went and sinned. You know, God didn't plan that. Do you think God was surprised by that? Do you think anything that happens surprises God? No. God's not surprised by anything that happens. God's not surprised when somebody slips and sins. God's not surprised when people fall. God's not surprised. God's not surprised by anything that takes place in this world, because he already knows what's going to happen. He predestined us to be sons of his and daughters of his before the world was formed. It's his. He chose you to be his sons and daughters through Christ. He knew he was going to have to do what he did before he ever built the world. Look at Romans chapter 8. Keep your finger there in Ephesians. Go over to Romans chapter 8, verse 17. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. See, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs means a child of the Most High King, a child of the Most High God. joint heirs. Under Pennsylvania law, if any two of us were to inherit a piece of property, you realize that each of us owns 100% of that property. Because that's the way Pennsylvania law is written. If you're a joint heir, everybody owns 100% of the property. Now, not everybody can sell 100% of it. It's not written that way, but you own 100% of it. That's the way the law is written in this state. So if we're joint heirs with God, or with Christ, that means everything God has comes to us. Right? Everything God has comes to us. I got an email today regarding the size of the earth. And it showed the planets in our solar system in scale. And when it put the sun on the same scale, the earth was just a minuscule dot compared to the size of the sun. And then they began to put other suns, other stars that we see out in the sky, compared to our suns. And before long, our sun became a minuscule dot compared to the size of these other suns. What a tremendous universe God has created. And it's all His, and we've become joint heirs of His. So everything God has comes to us. Amen? Back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. To the praise and glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in the Beloved. Jesus cleansed us with His blood so you could stand before God as clean as Adam and Eve did in the garden before they sinned. Remember when God would come down to the garden and He'd walk in the garden with Adam and Eve? And before they sinned, they just walked in the garden with God. They didn't have any problem. After you were cleansed by the blood of Christ, you have been made that clean. You can just walk with God, no problem. That's why we can come boldly into the throne room, because there's no sin that holds back a believer. So many people are depressed. There's so much suicide. And one of the core issues with depression and suicide is rejection. But you're not rejected. You're accepted by the Beloved. It says that. It says He made us accepted in the Beloved. You are accepted by the Beloved. The Beloved is the inner circle, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You know, I have an acquaintance who is fairly rich, and he belongs to the Inner Circle Club. And he can pick up his phone and dial the White House and speak with the President, because he belongs to the Inner Circle Club. He can call the cabinet members because he belongs to the Inner Circle Club. he can call the senators, at least the Republican ones, because he belongs to the Inner Circle Club. And he has their phone numbers, because these club members receive their phone numbers, their private phone numbers. So when he has a problem, he can call one of these people to get his problems taken care of. But we belong to an inner circle, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we can call them when we have a problem, and it'll get taken care of. Amen? We can go way above the president or the Senate, and nobody's going to vote against us. And fear and rejection have no place in you when you know you're accepted by the Beloved. It has no place there. Knowing you're accepted by the Beloved will free you to be who God called you to be. It absolutely frees you to be who God called you to be. Once you know that, not in your mind, in your heart, knowing that you're accepted by the Beloved, you're part of the inner circle, then you can be free to be who God called you to be. Start with verse 7 here in Ephesians chapter 1. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined, according to the purpose of him who works all things, according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. You have been redeemed, and the mystery of God's will, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, has been revealed to you. See, that's the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. People do not understand how Christ can come and indwell a believer. But that's the hope of glory. Amen? And we have the mind of Christ. We can think like Jesus thought, thinks. Well, how do we do that? Because we put the Word in, and it's the washing of the water of the Word. We put the Word in. What is the Word? The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What are we doing? We're putting Christ in. Amen? So we have the mind of Christ because we think like Him. And when we start thinking like Him, then when the evil one comes, what do? We get out the sword of the Word and we begin to defeat him. We submit ourselves to God. We resist the devil with the sword of the Word, and he runs. Why? Because we're in him. He's in us. We're in him. We're part of the inner circle. We're redeemed. We're blessed. We're washed. We're in him. Amen? Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, Father God, that the word in us is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Father, I thank you that in Christ we are free from all the things of this world. And Lord, that in Christ we're set free from sin. We're set free from evil desires. Father, I thank you that we're accepted of the Beloved. Lord, I thank you that you've made us part of your inner circle. Father, I pray now that this word becomes revelation knowledge in us this night. That it comes alive in us, that we might know who we are in Christ. And I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.